Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're asking the question, what's all this for?
Or you've seen or heard things and you say to yourself, what does this even mean?
Hey, you've got questions.
And we've got answers.
This is the Talk Boys Podcast. You are. Have a dance off.
Right now. Hurry. In your car. At your desk.
There's still time for a dance off. There's very little time.
I'm convinced that you can do any style and any ethnic dance, like cultural dance, to that beat and to that rhythm. We've tried a couple.
I don't know what I was doing with my hands.
It was a luau kind of vibe, a little bit, yeah?
Hula boys. Yeah, we just sit here and look at our phones while the intro credits are running. And then sometimes
it's a little dance off.
Such as today, we had a dance off. So not only did I feel that for us, but I felt that for you. So you know where, when I know that it's a power move, is like the music is off. You can continue that dance off with no music.
I don't know if I have the guts to try that.
The music is in your head.
You just keep it going.
The rhythm is going to get you.
Good.
Isn't that a song?
I don't know. Could be.
The rhythm is going to get you.
It sounds like a Lady Gaga song.
Lady Gaga? I think it's...
Well, she's underrated, man. I'm telling you.
Dude, Lady Gaga? Hey, when I'll have to redact a statement that I made saying years ago that Lady Gaga couldn't sing.
Oh, bro.
And then I heard her actually let loose.
With Tony Bennett?
Yeah.
Yeah,
with
man.
With Old Tone. Is it Antonio or Anthony Bennett?
It's got to be Anthony.
That's worth a Google.
All right.
Hey, we want you guys to know the facts, and the only way you're going to get the facts is if we figure out if Tony... Dude, hot take, his actual name is just Tony. It's not short for anything.
Bro, his website is tonybennett.com.
What does it say on Wikipedia?
Okay, that's usually true. Oh, Anthony. Anthony Dominic Benedetto.
Benedetto.
I sing it a song.
I sing.
With a Lady Gaga.
It's a me and Antonio Benedetto. I don't know. Yeah.
He turns into the chef at Lady and the Tramp. That's that guy. I put a sauce in there.
That's a spicy meatball. Hey, do you ever recognize how, like, there's certain things that are like faux pas to say? I'm going to go there immediately.
Okay.
Like, you would, like, we'll get mad at someone for saying something racist. Like,
correct.
Towards one of our black friends or one of our Asian friends, like yourself, Josh.
Sure, yeah.
Or Hispanic friends. But, like, dude, we can openly make fun of Italians. No.
If you're Italian, it's because we love you.
It's, yeah. I mean, we have a lot of Italian. Myrtle Beach true. Has tons of Italians.
Yeah. They got no Asian people, though, I'll tell you that.
No.
No. Yeah. No. And you want to know where to find them? At the next Hop Ching or Takeout or any of this. Which, praise God, because we get good food. But.
Do you resonate with what I'm saying, though? Because
I get it.
I had that thought process in my head as we were doing the. If you can't, we're going to give you a visual. We were both doing the little hands, the Italian hands. Hey.
We're talking with our hands.
Yeah. And like the whole time we're doing that, I'm thinking, is this offensive? I don't know. Like if you talk in a Scottish accent, I'm not going to get offended at you.
No.
So I don't know. Hey, guys, we're trying to understand.
Help us out.
Because you got a real life internal observation. I'm just trying to do the right thing, everybody.
That's it.
So
that's it.
Bear with us. Hey, guys. So one of the things that we would love for you to go ahead and do, because this is episode, what episode is it, Josh?
It's episode 11.
1-1. Episode 11. We are rounding the bend. And just putting out episodes. I'm really happy. But one of the things we want you to do while you're here, go ahead and subscribe if you haven't to the podcast.
Yes, please.
And then what else can they do, Josh?
You can go to our Instagram. It's the Talk Boys Podcast. And we did what we said we were going to do. We're getting better.
We are. Hey.
We're getting better.
And our social media game is, and right now it's Instagram. I had someone ask me the other day if we were going to do a TikTok.
Oh, dude, I can't.
And they were like, because you can go viral on there. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't hate people that have TikTok, obviously.
Yeah, right.
I just don't like it.
I don't know what to do with TikTok.
You just watch videos for hours, evidently.
I don't. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't do that.
I'm out.
I already have enough distractions.
Yeah. The YouTube gets me sucked in.
Hey, you know that we get distracted. You've listened to episodes. This might be your first one. And if you haven't, I'll go ahead and warn you. We're going to get distracted.
Yes. Very easy. Two of us in the room? Yeah. Sorry.
So, hey, if you're joining on episode 11, we just want to remind you why we're here. So, this podcast started on a car ride months and months ago where Josh and I were riding around. We had a little natural banter going on, and we decided that we wanted to make a podcast. And I'll say this, Josh, then I didn't know that it would turn to what it is now.
Right. That is true.
And again, it's not that we're like, you know, it's Joe Rogan then us. We're not there.
Right.
But like even just the traction that we have now as a podcast and really kind of getting like learning who we are as like learning what we are as a podcast and as the Talk Boys. I didn't know that it would kind of morph into this, but I'm very pleased.
We just actually have the best listeners.
Our listeners, even if you're joining today and this is your first time,
You're the best.
You are the absolute best as far as listeners go.
You're a freaking sunflower. How about that?
You're a sunflower.
In a car, in a Chevy Impala with gas station food and snacks.
A GMC Jimmy.
In our laps while we were driving, just chatting back and forth. I never thought we'd, because we have the best listeners. And do we just call them talk people? That's our listener. That's our fans.
Are you a talk person? You are.
Our talk people are the best. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
And we just want to have a normal conversation where you feel like you're a part of it. You're probably not always going to agree on everything that we say.
I would hope not.
No, you shouldn't. Because a lot of what we say is subjective to our thoughts. You know, obviously there is some factual things that we say, but at the end of the day, you can disagree with us, and we're okay with that. We'll still be your friend.
Yep.
Today we have a great episode planned, and really excited about it because this is we mentioned this in the last episode. This is a part tour, and this is our first part two.
Our first follow up episode.
This is our first sequel. Our first second episode. This is our number one, number two.
I can't wait to do a prequel to this one.
A prequel? Before. Well, and today we're doing conspiracy theories.
Man, aren't there some good ones?
Part two.
There's some... I was educated myself when you guys sent in, like, what are some, you know, conspiracy theories. But before we get into all that, I need to take a sip. So...
What you sipping on?
My favorite segment, our sip of the day. I have... a Bang lemon drop sweet tea. Bro, this one.
Is it good?
I love it, dude. It's not carbonated.
Can I ask you, did you get that at Ollie's Bargain Bin?
Sure did.
You did?
A case of those bad boys.
So our buddy Chad came in with those the other day, and he said, dude, you got to go to Ollie's Bargain Bin, which is basically a store that has.
It's like a Big Lots.
And it looks like Albert Einstein's on the front of it.
Yeah, that part's weird.
But yeah, so. He has a lemon drop. What? Hey, go ahead and give that thing an opener.
I'm gonna put this in my body.
Go ahead and put it in you. Ooh, I heard that sip. Oh, condenser good. Mics are great. You can hear it's everything.
That was in your ears. I'm sorry. It's so good.
Is it?
I love sweet tea.
Does it taste? Do you remember brisk? Does it taste like
very,
brisk?
Very brisk esque.
Brisk-esque. I might name my kid Brisk-esque.
Please don't.
Brisk-esque pace. Get over here. No. So I'm sipping on a Trenta
Golly.
Which is Starbucks size for, I think, 30 ounces.
That's it.
Cold brew. Listen.
That is... Am I bougie for wanting ice in all of my drinks?
I don't think so.
I want ice in all of everything.
I've realized that there's only certain occasions that I like hot coffee. I'm more of a cold coffee fan.
Even in the morning?
If it's cold outside, I want hot coffee.
Sure, that makes sense.
But today, weirdly warm in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
It is February, what, 3rd?
Yeah, I had a hoodie walking out, the 4th. I had a hoodie walking out, and I was, yeah, I don't know why I have it on, because I took it off immediately.
Yeah, it's February, it is February 4th.
That's weird. What happened to January? Flew by, dude.
What happened?
I just woke up.
What happened to January? I don't know. Why do we do that?
I don't know. God. Yeah.
Yeah. January just flew on by. I think it was like because I had COVID. And so there was that.
That is true.
You know,
the vid got you.
We weren't like drinking or anything.
Yeah. Just a couple of shut ins. No, we were doing stuff.
Yeah. We were very busy. Very busy month. Very. Fruitful.
This is a fruitful month.
We bared many a fruit in January.
Speaking of things that we did, life updates. What'd you do? What you been up to?
Well, last weekend, not this past weekend, the weekend before, I went to back home to visit family for a few days.
That's right.
And then I was in the upstate for a few days, upstate of South Carolina.
Yep.
And which is a nice little area.
It is. It's different than here.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach is its own continent.
I'm starting to figure that out more and more.
Because it's so, like, most people think Myrtle Beach is just the kind of like dirty Myrtle, like the main strip.
Right.
It's like, I can't tell you the last time I've been there.
I've been there once and I said I'm never going back here again.
So there's like that aspect that's kind of like, I don't know, cheesy, I guess.
Yeah.
Or gimmicky. And then you have the rest of Myrtle Beach, which is just extremely odd.
Just weird.
It's awesome.
Everyone has golf carts.
Yes.
Everyone. Even people that are like 10 miles from the beach.
Dude.
Have you noticed this?
Stop it.
It's
yes.
So ridiculous.
I'm trying to get through an area we have called Market Common to the gym. And there's always...
There's a couple of golf carters.
And it's like they're racing each other, side by side, just, hey, we don't want anyone to pass us.
We're topping out at 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
Do you want me to offend some people?
Please.
I ask that like you're like, yeah. I think if you can't, at a minimum, do the posted speed limit in that area, that you shouldn't be allowed on the road.
Hey, get out.
Get off of my road.
Get out or off the highway.
Well, and I get it. There's like road bikers and stuff like that, but I just think like it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Have you seen a cycler?
Can we talk about cyclists? Gosh darn. Dude, I have a lot of family members that are cyclists. And here's the argument. Well, bikes were invented first. I don't care.
Yeah, we got better.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep coughing.
It's okay.
It's kind of like, have you seen my Harley? Like, it has a motor on it.
Stop.
It can go places.
Yeah, get out of here.
It's like, we made the bicycle better. We put a big old 100 cubic inch V-twin on that thing.
Yes, motorcycles all day. But you pedaling your butt off with... nothing but skin tight stuff on.
Yeah.
With the clip on mirror. Have you seen the clip
on
mirror?
On your little helmet.
Dude.
You got the widow helmet mirror.
Like a little. Dude. And you just kind of angle it. I've been flicked off more by people on bicycles than I have people in cars.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bad drivers here.
And you know what I have? So the aspect of me that has a lot of respect for cyclists, because we have to go there if we're going to knock them.
Well, let's honor them.
It's the fact that no one on the road likes you, that you're there, except you and your friends that are riding in your skin tight with the little butt pads on your pants.
All 10 of you dudes.
Yeah. All 10 of you guys that weigh 155,
yeah.
But you're all 6'8".
Yeah. Yeah, they are the tallest guys ever. And
well, they're just like very thin. And honestly, it makes sense because you put me on a bike, I'm grabbing a little more windage than the rest of you. Now, if we have a tailwind, your boy's putting his sails out and he's riding right by you. Especially if I'm wearing this big freaking Carhartt hoodie I got on right now. Dude, if I let this Carhartt hoodie out,
you're just
I don't even have to pedal at that point. If I got a good tailwind,
sailboat.
Yeah, dude, me.
Sailbike. I just see you with the freaking squirrel suit on a bike just cruising through.
Now, but on the flip side, if you got that headwind, me, I'm throwing the bike in the pond. I don't want this thing anymore. I will quit.
Oh, man.
But what I'm saying is you have a lot of commitment to your craft because no one wants you. Or I would say 90% of people on the road don't want you on the road because you're impeding them getting where they're going. And I get like there could be the argument of like, well, slow down, enjoy the day. But it's like, hey, I didn't plan to drive to work today. And it take me an extra 5 to 7 minutes to get there because you want to exercise.
Outside. And that's fine, but not on a road.
If you want to be on the road, do your vehicle, and this goes the same for scooters and all that other stuff. Yep. We can get into that.
Yeah.
If you cannot at a minimum, not saying you have to do the speed limit, but if you cannot at a minimum do the speed limit in that area.
Yes.
Get off the road.
Yes.
Get on the sidewalk. Or, dude, my gym has some sweet bikes that just sit there. You don't have to worry about wind.
No. You can go as slow as you want.
I mean, if you want to put a fan in front of you to mimic the wind, sure.
They have TVs on them.
Dude, you can watch your – you can catch up on your news. Yeah, so Myrtle Beach, we live in Myrtle Beach. But, yeah, got back, and yesterday – I feel like we had a busy week, but then yesterday.
Yeah.
We just had a great afternoon, Josh, didn't we?
We did. It was painful, but we had a good one.
It was super. So we both got tattoos yesterday. We blocked off a whole afternoon.
Yeah.
Which we do from time to time.
Yep.
And we block off a whole afternoon, and we've mentioned them before. It is some dear friends of ours at Pork Chops Tattoo Studio. They have two locations here and in Florence. And we got tattooed we blocked off like 8 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I got tattooed for like 5 or 5.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Straight. And what's funny is like, it's still not finished, but it's like, that type of work just takes
forever.
Forever. And I have such an appreciation for it. I'm like, dude, take your time. Like, because I know. And, he actually, we'll probably post some pictures. We posted a picture on our Instagram yesterday of us hanging out there. Oh,
rookie move.
I always put reminders in my phone.
I gotcha.
So, so we were there yesterday, and I don't know if you're like me, every time, and you have more tattoos than I do.
I have a
lot
few.
More.
Yeah.
And every time I get a tattoo, I'm always reminded, like, of how much it sucks while you're getting it.
Yeah, this is dumb.
Then when it's over, it's like, oh, dude, I'm so glad I did this. But while you're doing it, so at first he started doing like the outside of my shoulder, and it wasn't bad.
Keep in mind, all those who are listening, Holden has a huge arm. It's my thigh.
Just the one?
just one big arm?
Yeah, so he was actually shading the upper part of my half sleeve. So probably the top, like, what, 4 or 5 inches?
Your shoulder.
Of my shoulder.
Yeah.
And he used two ounces of ink just on, like, the bottom portion of
black.
It. Black. Yeah, black, gray, and a little bit of white. And, yeah, so it takes me – I've realized, like, because my arms are larger, it takes a lot longer for me to get tattooed.
Yeah. And then I got the back of my neck blasted, which was so dumb.
Dude, anytime he got close to my neck or up on my shoulder blade, it was like I wanted to be tough, but he could tell because I just stopped talking, and you couldn't talk.
Yeah, I couldn't talk, or it would just mess up the lines on the back of my head.
And then it makes me laugh because I make him laugh, and he's not supposed to laugh because he's getting tattooed.
Yeah, he has the machine in his hand, so it was awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of, We love Pork Chop and Becky a lot, and they own the shop. And there is an opportunity because right now he's booked out pretty far. But like,
yeah,
so months. If you want to get a tattoo, you need to go to their website. And it's on their Facebook.
Yeah, fill it out. Which was cool. You can put in request. Like, you know,
you can request an artist, you can pay a deposit, all that stuff.
Yep. So when you come down here, play a couple of rounds of golf as you're visiting Myrtle Beach or going to the Boulevard, as they say.
Yeah. You're going to go check out Ripley's, believe it or not.
And put your life on the line. You can also get tattooed by just my favorite human beings.
Yeah. And so, but in addition to that, not only can you book in advance, but there's an opportunity to get a walk-in tattoo. So I'm going to read what was sent to me.
Let's do it.
Because I don't want to leave any details out. So Pork Chop's Valentine's Day Bash. This is at the Myrtle Beach location only. They want to do something special for the loved ones in your life as a Valentine's Day gift.
I have so many loved ones. I have one main one, right? The main.
Your main.
Let me describe what gal. I just said. Yes. There's no side gals. But
I have many.
I love men.
I love many.
Hold on. No, there's, yep. Anyways, I love a lot of people, a lot of friends.
So they're having a very special event on Saturday, February 12th from 1 until 9 p.m., 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, that is Saturday, February 12th. That's the day, the weekend before Valentine's Day, from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Bring your significant other, best friend, sibling, parent, etc., and take advantage of their special deal. So the special deal is they have pre-drawn designs that will be available for this event and will be posted in the comments. The special will be as follows. So if you follow Pork Chop's Tattoos Myrtle Beach on Instagram or Facebook, you'll be able to see these pre-drawn designs as they come up. Again, that's Pork Chop's Tattoos Myrtle Beach. It's the Myrtle Beach shop. They have smaller designs that are 2 for $80. That means you and a special someone can get a tattoo for $40 a person. That's
some matching matches.
Dude,
I would love to get a matching tattoo with my mom. She would never do it.
My mom would.
She hates tattoos.
My mom would get a tattoo.
Does your mom have tattoos?
She does, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she's got full sleeve. She's got face tattoos. She's got full sleeve, neck tattoos. No.
My mom's cool. She definitely doesn't have tattoos.
No, my mom has a few tattoos, like some small randos.
You know what she says? You messed up what I made.
Aww.
Oh my God.
You done messed it up.
You done messed it
up. Used to be so pretty.
You just colored it up with a bunch of weird decorations.
So it is 2 for $80 for the small designs or $80 for a slightly bigger design. So $40 a pop, or you can do 80, go 160 still. For 2 tattoos?
Not bad.
Are you kidding me?
Are you stupid not to do that?
Are you a big dumb idiot to not go to? So they'll be posted on their site. Again, Pork Chop's Tattoos, Myrtle Beach. You can go to the Facebook page and join the event. So you can actually join the event. And so when you go there, here's the thing to know. There's probably going to be a line because people want to get tattooed, especially at that rate. And what kind of cool story is it to say, yeah, I got a tattoo on Valentine's Day weekend with someone that meant something to me? The only thing I'll say is, if they don't mean a whole lot to you, and everyone you hang out should, if they don't, probably don't get a matching tattoo with them. But if they do,
no, please don't.
Go ahead and get it. Get a rando with your friends.
I have multiple bro tats with some of my friends.
Rando with you boys. Me and you were talking. We keep talking about doing that, and I think we probably will at some point.
Yeah,
in time.
We should.
Yeah,
I think it's time.
You know, hey, Chop, Becky. The only thing I think you need to add to this, yep. Talk Boys logo.
Yep, a little Talk Boy in there.
Add the Talk Boys logo to the tattoo list. The rest of the tattoos look great, but
you imagine,
dude? It would be perfect. Put red in it.
Oh yes.
All right. Well, it's an idea. You don't have to do it. So. But that is one way that you can show that special someone around you that you love them.
Do it. Get tattooed. I overdid it, I would say.
You got
a few. On my canvas, my meat vehicle.
I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I got a couple new paintings on my meat vehicle. God.
That got me. My pits are sweating.
Dude, I don't even know why I'm wearing this hoodie. It's so hot.
It is hot, man. It's hot, but it's supposed to be super cold Sunday.
Yeah.
So
that's why we're all sick. That's something my, like, I feel like my grandma would say. That's why everybody's getting sick right now, because it keeps going from hot to cold. You going to get pneumonia.
You can't make a good meal like that. How you think your body's going to do?
Pneumonia with a P.
Pneumonia.
Dude, that's my favorite thing. Okay, my name, my last name starts with a P.
Yes.
Holden Pace.
Yep.
If a telemarketer calls or a scam caller calls and they go, can you give us your name? I always go, it's Holden, H-O-L-D-E-N. Pace, that's P as in pneumonia, A, or I do P as in pterodactyl.
Wait, there's a P in pterodactyl?
Bro, there's a P in it.
See, didn't know that.
P as in pterodactyl. They get so mad when you do that, but it's my favorite. You know, it, hey, if a robocaller calls you, whatever they're selling, keep them on the phone and one-up them. So if they want $2,500 for, you know, a truck that they're trying to sell you, go, I don't think, I need two trucks. Do you have two? Always one-up.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's the pro tip.
Great idea.
What is our word of the day, Josh?
The Urban Dictionary word of the day is, this was my favorite one so far that we've had. It's tactical spoon.
Ooh.
Right. What you're thinking is probably what it is. Tactical spooning is a...
Now that you said it, I immediately know what it is.
Yes, a military version of a civilian term, spoon or spooning. When applied to the military, the act of... tactical spooning is not romantic exchange, although I'm sure it got weird at one point, but rather an act of survival.
Cue the music.
And a desire to desire to stay warm in harsh environments. This protective posture can be utilized in either sitting or a laying position. Use it in context. Sure. Soldier one. Man, it's so cold. My teeth are chattering. My hands are starting to freeze. Dude, we have to tactical spoon. Soldier number two. Okay. Hold on. All right, let's redo it. Keep going. Man, it's so cold out here. My teeth are chattering. My hands are starting to freeze. Dude, we have to tactical spoon. I want everyone listening.
Do you have another
to
definition?
To use please, tactical spoon.
Please give me another definition.
All I, week.
Music makes everything better.
I can read it again.
All right. Let's try this one.
You got a new song? Tactical spooning.
Hang on.
This one's good. Urban word. Urban. God, I can't.
Hang on. Bring it back. Reel it in. All right, go ahead.
Tactical spooning is the military version of the civilian term spoon or spooning. When applied to the military, the act of tactical spooning is not a romantic engagement, but rather an act of survival and a desire, a strong desire. This is... Stay warm. Oh, man.
Dude, definition.
This protective posture can be utilized in either sitting or laying position. Can you imagine listening to this out loud and you're like, what the heck are you listening to, dude?
You're just freezing. You're like, hey, bro. Hey, bud. Can dude, we gotta stay warm, and then like you just hear that.
Man, I gotta post that one for sure. Please use tactical spooning, maybe not the act, but the word in this week of your life.
That, I think that brings us to the question: would you, if you had to, tactical spoon?
I have. Yep, without question.
With a dude.
You're like, this is a trick question.
I'm just saying, would you?
This isn't a have I. This is a would you, right?
This is theoretical. Or, well, okay. Not theoretical. Hypothetical.
Okay.
I'm creating a scenario for you. Would you?
If it was
like survival, hey, I'll be the little one if I have to.
Little spoon?
I imagine me typically, it's like, it makes more sense for me to be the big spoon. Like, because A, I've got a larger land mass. But in addition, like, you know, I got like really, I think I have a 6'6 wingspan.
Good so, Lord. Like,
dude, if you don't feel safe.
Yeah. Me being 5'8, I can just get right in there.
You get lost. Dude, that is okay. Oh, I'm going to go on record to say that is the best.
So far. Yes. Yeah.
The music.
Oh, my God.
Hey, next time we do an episode, I'm going to put this in here. We might delete it. But just so we remember, next time we do an episode, we might bring in basically a skit where you read just a random definition and I put Kenny G behind it.
Done.
Because that was Kenny G.
And then at the end, we ask, do you think that was sexual?
Did I make that recipe for fettuccine Alfredo? I would immediately say yes. Dude, if you tell me about crumble cookies and you put Kenny G behind it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be in tears, dude.
Yeah. What do I not say right now?
What has not already been said?
I get hot. I'll get a fever.
Dude, literally the menu, they'll be reading the menu for me. I'll be like, hey, what do you have? What's your specials today? And they're like, so today we have this Oreo cookies and cream special cookie today. And that's playing in my mind each time. And I'm just crying. I'm like, it's so beautiful.
I'm going to take you home in a little box.
Tell me more, Janine. What are we talking about today, Josh?
Because
we're gradually going to get more and more out of hand if we don't steer the ship into our topic for today.
I know. And it's
what a great moment, though, that we just had.
It will never be forgotten.
That may have been a top fiver right there.
We are talking about conspiracy theories today, and I would like to think of myself as someone who is interested in conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit of truth in there, right? And
sure.
In an age of skepticism, I am one of those guys. So there is a lot of good conspiracy theories, which we'll do a couple honorable mentions at the end, but two that we really wanted to cover on this episode specifically is Area 51 and that birds aren't real.
So I always like to start, you know me, I like to start with defining what a conspiracy theory is.
That's good.
So the Oxford Languages definition, because last time I just said Google like an idiot, like a big dumb jerk. Google says, so Oxford, is that good enough for you? A belief that some covert but influential organization is responsible for a circumstance or event. And then you have conspiracy theorist, which would be a conspiracy theory is an explanation for an event, situation that invokes a conspiracy by sinister and powerful groups, often political and motivation, when other explanations are more probable.
Mm.
That's an interesting one.
That is interesting.
Because it's a little different, but it's the same. It just goes into more detail. So if you're kind of like wondering how to filter what is a conspiracy theory, that's probably a pretty good way to like, you know, is there another explanation for this? You know, it's kind of like they always say, if you want to make a product, you have to solve a problem.
Yep.
So like we're trying to solve by these conspiracy theories to say that someone or a group is conspiring against us or is doing something without us knowing and for a personal gain. So
we have nothing to gain from this, by the way.
Yeah. The great thing about us covering these conspiracy theories is there's nothing for us to gain by this. So you know, I couldn't care less whether you prove to me that birds are or not real. So we'll start up top with a short and sweet one before we go into our main topics. And then we'll probably go into some notable mentions. So one that we got is Area 51. So I'm just going to go straight into it because this is probably going to be one of our shorter segments. So Area 51 is, I mean, when I say Area 51, Josh, what is your first thought?
Aliens, UFOs.
Dude, right off the bat, there's always some
and
sort
of, I love it.
There's always some sort of, like, go ahead and cue the X-Files music. Like, that when I think of Area 51, or I think most of you, I think it's probably one of the most interesting topics that a lot of people know something about. Like, I feel like if you polled the majority of people, they would know something about Area 51, or they would have a speculation as to what it is. So,
right.
I'll just give you a few facts about it. And so how we're gonna structure this is much like we did last time. We'll give you the backstory. Like, this one's going to be a little shorter than the rest. And then at the end of it, we'll say whether we think it's plausible, meaning like it could happen, and then whether we think it's likely, meaning this actually is very likely that this is a thing. So Area 51, we'll kind of dive into the history behind it. In the early 1950s, U.S. planes were conducting low-flying recon missions over the USSR, so the Soviet Union. This was kind of like Cold War era, and we're kind of spying on them. I'm sure they're spying on us. And so we were conducting low-flying reconnaissance missions to collect information about the Soviet Union. Because of the low altitude of the planes, U.S. military leaders were concerned about these recon planes being shot down. So, a real problem. They're flying super low. They can be seen. If they get shot down, not only do we lose a valued person of our military, a valued pilot, but also now the Soviet Union has intel on our aircraft. They also know that we're spying on them. Like, they can prove it now. Oh, so, sweet. Because of that, they were really concerned about them being shot down. So in 1954, President Eisenhower, former general in World War II, I don't know if you know that, Dwight Eisenhower.
Dwight.
So Dwight Eisenhower was a very well-known general in World War II. He became, you know, obviously very popular after that because of the things that he was able to accomplish in World War II for the Allied forces. And so after that, it's natural that he becomes president. So he implemented, out of, you know, not wanting a low flying plane, he implemented a top secret project called Project Aquatone. So this project required a remote location that wasn't easily accessible to civilians or spies. Area 51 fit the bill perfect. It was in the Nevada desert near a salt flat called Groom Lake. No one really knows how it got its name, Area 51, but the theory is it came from other numbered government land in the area that was used as nuclear test sites. So they were using a lot of nuclear test sites in Nevada, and they all had like an area and then a number. And so the theory is maybe they numbered that Area 51 in order to make it seem like it was just another test site or something like that, so that they could do some top secret, top secret shenanigans. So
that's what it is.
Area 51 is a military base, and so it's basically heavy for research. So no one really knows how it got its name. In 1955, after all of this, there began a lot of strange sightings of UFOs. Ooh. So 1954, they go into Area 51. The thought is that it could be in part because of the U-2 spy planes that we basically created planes that flew higher than anything else so as to not be detected by the Soviet government. So that, like, the theory or the government explanation would probably be, oh, we built these planes, which is now declassified. Then it wasn't. It was classified information. We built these planes, and that's what they were seeing. However, there's not really an explanation as to what is going on there now. It's very polarizing, very kind of like they don't want you to know. Matter of fact, the people that fly into Area 51, because obviously a lot of people don't want to live in a salt flat. So most of the people, there's a private plane that flies in employees from Las Vegas to Area 51.
What?
Like, their employees can get in and out of Area 51 by that. But it's very top secret. A lot of people have, you know, suggested there's UFOs. A lot of people suggested, like, there's some world elite things going on there that they don't want you to know about. Either way, it started very mysteriously, you know, kind of how they Project Aquatone by Eisenhower. And so for me, you know, now they claim that there's a lot of information about UFOs, and, you know, the CIA declassified a lot of that stuff in, was it 2021? They started declassifying it, but it's right, kind of
not
like
everything.
They really didn't give us anything. So, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of speculation, but I don't like to spend a lot of time on speculation.
Right.
I like to lay down the facts and then go, okay, well, obviously it started as top secret. So any of the speculation of like world elite or aliens or, you know, military shenanigans going on there, the fact that it's so top secret, like you can't get near it.
Here's my thing with something that's top secret. What is the second word of that word?
Secret.
Secret.
Secret, secrets and for it to be, are no fun. Secret, secrets hurt someone.
Is that what it is?
I think that's on The Office. I remember Michael saying that. Someone said it. So, yeah, it is. It's secretive. And so in that nature, what happens to the human brain when we know, oh, I can't even get near this? They are literally flying people in to work there every day. What is so important and hidden there? Is it some government plans, or is it, you know, it like, so it leaves the mind to wander. And it's been one of the most interesting topics, not only because of its like very secretive location, but paired with a lot of things. So for me, aside from the reason I didn't want to spend a ton of time on this, aside from the fact that Area 51 is very top secret, do I think that some things, okay, we'll word it this way. Do I think they are doing things that they don't want us to know about, or they are discovering, or they know things there that they don't want the rest of the population to know about? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's top secret. Do I think my mind immediately wanders to aliens? Bro, it wants to. God.
Why wouldn't you let it go
there?
It
wants to. But obviously there's something there that they don't want us to know about. What do you think, Josh?
Oh, I'm all in. I think Area 51 was the place it was the first UFO where they obtained the actual UFO and the alien, brought it back to Area 51, top secret, right?
That's the claim.
That's the claim. And then you have this guy. All of it's just like, maybe, except when you get to Bob Lazar.
Yeah.
1989, Bob Lazar said, there's documents of him. He worked there in Area 51. Now, there are a crazy amount of levels that you go down. That's widely spread information.
Sure, yeah.
And so he goes, back in 1989, I've worked on this spacecraft. I've looked at it, all of this stuff, and there is an element that we found. It's a new element. It doesn't exist. Everyone says deny, deny, deny. Now, the element, if you track, I forget the name and I don't want to pronounce it or whatever. The element that he claimed in 1989 now is a, like, yes, this actually exists. And no one, like, everyone called him crazy until then.
Yeah.
So, watch the documentary, Bob Lazar, on Netflix. It is insane.
I read a little bit into the Bob Lazar story because I thought it was quite, like, I thought he was the one person that worked there. So my thing is, like, I want to speculate, like, obviously, aliens. I don't think Area 51 was just dedicated to aliens.
No, I don't either.
I think it's anything top secret that they know they can hide, that they don't allow, you know, like, area overhead footage, aerial footage. Like, you can't fly. Obviously, you can't fly over most military bases without clearance. But, like, I think there's a lot of research. They're testing things. Like, obviously, they did this to create a spy plane initially. So it started as something that was very secretive. You know, and we might get into the Manhattan Project, because I've always been very fascinated by how they were able to keep that so covered up for, you know, many years. You know, it's interesting. If you don't know what the Manhattan Project is, Dr. Robert Robert Oppenheimer was a physicist that was over this project to build the first nuclear bomb. Side note, if you say nuclear, stop.
Well, how do you say it?
Nuclear.
Yeah.
People say nuclear, it bothers me.
Nuclear?
Stop adding syllables to stuff. It doesn't need it.
Nuclear? How do you say it?
Nuclear.
Nuclear. Oh, my God. What have I been saying?
I don't know. I hate when people say nuclear. So, yeah, keep it simple. But with the Manhattan Project, and we're kind of going down a little bit of a rabbit hole, but similarly, they had a problem, and they wanted to answer it quietly. They didn't want other people knowing that they were working on it. So President Roosevelt, during World War II, put Oppenheimer over this project to build the first nuclear bomb. And at the end of it, you know, Roosevelt dies. And who takes over as president? Harry Truman. Harry Truman had no idea that the Manhattan Project was going on. Vice President of the United States of America had no idea that we were building a nuclear bomb quietly.
In quotes.
So I say all that to say, do I believe that the U.S. government does things without us knowing? Absolutely. And you know what? In some ways, it's probably good we don't know, because some of y'all got big mouths and you go tell everybody.
That's a good point.
So at a
bunch of gossip girls.
Bunch of gossip gals and guys.
And guys, for sure.
So, but I think, like, at the end of the day, is there something going on at Area 51 that's sketchy or that people they don't want us to know about? Absolutely. Why would there not be? It's a top secret place. You can't get near it. Like, it is, dude, when they said they were going to storm Area 51, did you hear about this?
It was on the news.
Dude, I was watching this happen in real time because I was wondering if it's going to happen. And I thought, hey, do you guys know the long-term implications of storming a military base? Well, let's talk short-term. Blood everywhere.
You're dead.
Like,
you're dead.
Any military base. First off, highly trained.
Assassins.
Highly equipped. Some of the world's best at what they do. And you're going to storm their base? Nah. People were talking about it. It's like, I kind of wanted to see what would unfold. But if you're asking me if I wanted to be part of that group that stormed it, nah, homie.
Nah, son. Did you see the turnout? I think it was like less than 100 people showed up.
Of course they didn't want to. Because, dude, it would be so stupid. Why would you? They got tanks in there for sure. What do you got?
Little turrets?
You got nothing.
No.
You got your buddy Randy's Jeep that you fastened an AR to. Yeah, we put a turret on my buddy Randy's Jeep. Like, oh,
it's
hey
go
man,
right through them.
You're gonna get like 4 feet,
and die.
And then you ever heard of heat seeking missiles, bro? We don't have that kind of firepower. And I get they were trying to overwhelm them with numbers, and they want to know. But can I just say this? I think sometimes it's nice to not know everything.
We can't handle it.
No. Dude, can you imagine if they just never told us about COVID and we just saw people getting sick? We're like, oh, yeah, there must be a bad virus going around.
That's a good point.
Like, just sometimes it's better not to know. My favorite thing is just not to watch the news.
Oh, no.
So I love speculating and I love diving into it. But I think sometimes the unknown is more scary than the actual known because it's what we create in our mind.
Right. Imagination.
So
movies. All that stuff comes into play.
But at the end of the day, who knows? Like, none of us really know what's going on there except for the people that do.
Not us lowly citizens.
Just a lowly shepherd boy.
We don't know nothing.
Nothing?
When you tell us about a couple of aliens.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you who was an alien. Your Aunt Sue.
She was real crazy.
She wouldn't tan. She just turned colors.
She sat on the beach for hours, lobster red the next morning, pale as a ghost. Did you hear that little whistle? You got that old man whistle.
I like that.
I call that the old denture the old denture whistle.
Where that air just creeps under those dentures and creates a...
It's just the most subtle thing. Hey, I'm not going to go there.
I know.
So our next topic, Josh, I have no idea what you're going to say, and I'm actually really interested in this one. So what is the claim?
Okay. The claim started about, honestly, less than 10 years ago. This claim that birds aren't real. I know. At first, you hear the quote and you're like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But looking into it, it's actually not that stupid. You got to go. You got to take a leap of faith and just go into the Barney Imagination Station. The Purple Dinosaur.
I don't know what that was. Hey, kids.
So here is what the claim is. Birds are actually drones operated by the U.S. government to spy on American citizens.
Interesting. Interesting hot take.
Okay. So where did someone get that information from? So the movement argues that all birds in the United States were exterminated by the government between 1959 and 1971 and replaced by drones. Okay. Sure. This happened right around the same time, coincidentally, when the CIA was founded. So the CIA, I mean, for the most, I'm like, the general consensus of what they do is just to observe and to monitor American citizens and to keep us, in quotes, safe. They claim that birds sit down, these people, the theorizers of the birds aren't real, they claim that birds sit down on power lines to recharge themselves and that birds poop on cars as a method of tracking cars. I know. It gets better. The theory states that U.S. president...
First off, I'm laughing because I just love all of this.
Dude. The theory states that the U.S. president, John F. Kennedy, was assassinated by the government due to his reluctance to kill all birds. Because this is right around the time where this act, in quotes, was supposed to happen. Spread of awareness that the government genocide over 12 billion birds from 1959 to 2001. Now, some would ask, how in the crap do you actually genocide all birds, right?
Okay.
Here's how they do it. So the stealth bomber was created around this time. And here's the method of how they do this.
And what year was this again? Sorry.
In between 1959 and 1971.
Okay.
Right? So, which is when the stealth bomber was invented. So, the water tanks and the bombers were filled with a specially formulated bird poison, right? Very general, but I like it. That once consumed would give the bird a virus that could be passed on to other birds. The poison was sprayed from an altitude of 8,000 feet and could completely dissolve before it hit the ground, which meant that only birds would be affected by this horrific poison. Okay. And once a single drop of poison struck the bird's feathers, the virus would take hold through the fibers and make its way into the bloodstream. The virus would then affect the bone structure in such a way that total decomposition of the bird would take place within 24 hours. We may proceed. If you will stand, place your hand up in the air. Okay.
Birds.
Here's where my hard argument of, like, we could throw in the government to make it feel valid. We could say presidents' names. We could throw in dates to – because that's what you do to start building a case, right?
Sure.
I need dates. I need highly credible sources, names, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, me and you on separate occasions – not together, but separately, have been bird hunting.
We have killed birds.
We have shot them out of the air.
We've exploded their heads.
Not for sport. We've been bird, duck, goose, flying animal hunting, right? For the sake of
this
eating,
sounds
man, not
mean,
for sport. I know.
But I would rather, I've killed birds for not only for sport, for food. Doves right. are delicious. Right. Quail's delicious.
Right.
But if there were less geese, people are going to be mad at me for saying this. And it's because I live in Myrtle Beach.
I'm on board.
Side note, if there were less geese, I would be fine with that.
Me too.
They're everywhere here. They get in the road and they're highly protected here. So, like, they'll
really?
Dude, they will stare at your car and stand in front of you like you can't run, like, and you can't run them over, which I wouldn't just run a goose over for no reason.
They're entitled animal jerks.
They're
that's what they are.
I call them goose holes. What a goose hole.
I'm putting that into Urban Dictionary. I'm putting it in there.
Dude, down here, though, they'll stand in front of your car. Sorry to derail us.
No, they don't give a crap.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they do, but they don't care about your stupid car.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I just, we've shot them. We've killed them. I have, I'm no expert for sure. I've been a couple times with some good friends of mine, but what happened when you, like, you breast them out? Being someone who has hunted something that flies in the air, and there is a camp that says all birds are drones from the CIA.
No.
I can't get on board. I can't.
If you say that birds were all removed and then the government grabbed them, the one thing I'll say is, okay, well, the things that birds provide for us,
right?
How do you do that now? So
we eat chicken.
One would be they provide insect and rodent like control,
right?
Plant pollination. They actually help with that. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
And seed dispersal. So like even down to, you know, the certain like ducks and geese can bring fish to a body of water on their like unintentionally from another body of water to a body of water that didn't have fish. That's why you can, you know, put a man-made pond in, and then in so many years there's fish in it.
Wow.
So like
my head's blown. I just always assume that
they
just,
I don't know if that's factual, but that's what I've
fish in there.
That's what I've always heard.
Huh. I mean, it makes sense.
Is that birds can carry fish eggs, I guess?
Some sushi to different bodies of water.
What do they call that? Roe?
Yeah.
Tobiko? Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I'd have to say, okay, if you want to tell me that there are some birds that the government uses as surveillance vehicles, sure, why not? It seems smart. Dude, use them in other countries to spy on them. But if you tell me that every bird is not real, I've seen the inner workings of a dove. So did the government recreate them to be perfect, like, animals? No.
No.
They're not God.
No way, dude.
You're giving them too much power. So,
yeah.
Is it plausible that some birds are used to spy on us and they have cameras in them?
Sure.
Is it plausible or likely that every bird is a government vehicle used to spy?
Not even the majority, dude.
You know another thing? They got you already, dude. You have a cell phone.
Yes.
They don't need a bird.
No.
They got you already. When everybody's like, I'm going to go there. When everybody's like, they're injecting a chip in you in the vaccine so they can spy on you. Hey, you got a cell phone. They got you, dude.
That's better than the chip because that doesn't leave you. Your phone doesn't leave you.
They got you already. If they want to spy on you, it's easy.
I know.
So it's not like the workaround is I'm not taking that so I can't get spied on. They got you already.
So just stop it.
Quit. Cut the crap.
Just stop.
And I'm not saying, you know, that microchipping is not going to be a thing or isn't a thing. I don't know. But at the end of the day, you got to have a better reasoning for that being put in your body. Because if it's spying on you, if the birds are spying on you, you have that already. Joe Rogan put an episode out about, I'm going to point to his podcast, recently about Google and how they like, this is another conspiracy we might get into in a later time, about how they actually like control the whole internet.
All of it, dude.
And that if this doesn't prove that Android phones are, like Android phones collect way more information on you and log it into the Google servers than iPhones ever will.
Really?
Yeah, iPhones are actually locked as far as like, now, you know, I would say like they still got you if you got an iPhone, but they were talking about how Google, it's like way more advanced, how they can track you and all this other stuff. Mm. And years ago, Google shut down the internet for 40 minutes, the whole internet.
I didn't even realize it.
The whole, and I hate to get sidetracked, y'all, but you want to go into a conspiracy? That actually happened.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to talk about it.
Mm.
Now, they could shut down the internet. Do you realize what that could do if you had that access as a military power?
You control everything.
You control every single form of communication in modern day 2022.
Especially U.S. I mean, that's all we do.
You control information. You control communication. All of that stuff. iMessaging.
Emails.
Yeah. You have, you have everything. You got them. So if you want to talk about like somebody tracking you or getting you, A, don't buy an Android, which either way, it's probably not good.
Right.
B, use a search tool that is not Google-based,
yeah,
if you're that worried
about it.
You can
use Ask Jeeves.
Well, you know what's interesting? All they talked about this, and go listen to the episode because they explain it much better than I can.
Right, right, right.
But almost every search engine is powered through Google.
Interesting. Now?
Yeah. So there's a few, and I forget the name of it, but there's like an encrypted search engine that you can use that doesn't.
I bet if you Googled different search engines other than Google, it wouldn't show you.
Yeah. Well, even if it does, there can, like, I'm sure Bing and, you know,
they control
Ask Jeeves.
But do you remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Can I say another thing about like the whole surveillance, you know, they're watching me, they're tracking my stuff. You're not that important.
What do they have to learn from you?
Oh my God, you spent $112 at Publix? They don't care.
Dude, that's what they find for me. You know, I would be a little embarrassed at how many times I've went to Crumble Cookie over the past month.
Like, oh my God, Josh's diet is McDonald's and he listens to too much death metal. That's what they would find out.
We're very confused. Holden lifts weights all the time, but he also eats a lot of cookies. What's going on? He's depressed. That's what it is.
We figured it out.
Is he sad or just very happy?
Oh, it's just, yeah, you're not that important.
It's so mean to say that. You're important to us.
Yeah, you are. But on the caliber of like a government body zooming into your life that much. Hey.
No, and I get very frustrated by a lot of like conspiracy theorists you know what cracks me up about like heavy conspiracy theorists? I think it's healthy to have a little distrust. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I actually commend that absolutely, because in order to have an open mind, you have to ask questions. So saying there's no such thing as any conspiring, you're not very open-minded. But on the flip side, if everything is conspiring, you're not open-minded either, because it's just not. It's simply not. And I know people that do that, and it's like, okay, well, what do they have to learn or what do they have to gain by following me? Not much.
Not much.
Now, you know, if one day I decide to do some criminal activities, sure. But if my plan is to not do that, or my plan is to like, you can actually fly under the radar if you want, but you have to be able to ditch all creature comforts. You have to be able to ditch. So it's like, be consistent in that. Like, don't knock me for doing these things and be on a high horse about that when you know there's other avenues that someone can track you.
That is true.
So, like, I guess that's my two cents about it, that, you know, there's these big industries that are, you know, out there and they only want to make profit. And so they're tracking. Yeah, hey, we talked about this with social media. They are tracking you. They are able to sell things to you based off of that. But you let them do it.
Yes.
You don't have to let them do it.
Because you love convenience, and so do I.
And you want to stalk people.
Yes.
You want to gain your influence on the internet. Like, whatever that may be, and I get that you have concerns, but at the end of the day, you're also allowing, you know, that. I know we go on like a side note, but like, the definitive answer about whether birds are watching us is like, do they really need to?
No. No.
We knew that they were wiretapping us before cell phones were.
There's more effective ways for that to happen. So, consensus, I think we both think that's just ridiculous.
Birds are real. Sure. Could the government create a drone that's bird?
I'm sure they got a couple out there.
And it would be genius.
It would be great.
but at the end of the
day. Not all of them.
No.
Not happening.
Not even half of them. Not even 10% of birds are fake.
Because where do you go to other countries? They have birds.
Yeah. Also, yeah, there's been birds there's been birds for years and years and years and years, and they provide things that are essential to us.
Essential.
So as frustrated as I am with geese, they're doing something for us, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. I need my chicken nugs, dude.
Yeah. Well, not only food, but like to the environment.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And goose grease.
What is goose grease?
Do you remember the episode of The Office when Dwight hits a goose on the way to work and he goes, look at this gift. We can skin it and eat it and, you know, pluck it and eat it for Christmas. And he's like, I'm not doing that. And he goes, and also, you can save the molten goose grease for later, thus saving you a trip to the store later for an expensive can of goose grease.
I don't know what I would use it for.
But in saying that, I think that the benefit of birds, having them around, outweighs the benefit of spying on you.
100%.
Because they can do that anyway.
Yeah.
They don't need birds to spy on you.
Better places and things to do that with.
We had a whole tangent there, but I just think you need to do an eval every now and then and go, okay, well, what's to be gained by seeing how much I spend on Amazon? Unless you're selling me something.
Right.
But if you're trying to like track me, what is the other reason? So, all right, Josh, well, this is our main topic for today. I'm going to explain a little bit of how we structured this. So, because sometimes we can have like a predisposition going into a topic, what we try to do is create a little tension in a debate. So, Josh and I, we took the statement that like basically that the earth is flat, because there are people, if you don't know this, there's an actual decent sized group of people that believe that the earth is not a sphere, that it is round, or that is flat, sorry, that the earth is flat.
Yep.
And so at first glance, you're probably like, that's stupid. But what we wanted to do is create a little bit of debate and tension. So how we structured this is Josh is built a case, whether his predisposition or not was that the earth is flat, he built a case against why the earth is flat to basically explain why people believe the earth is flat. And my stance going into this debate is that the earth is round. Everything that we're going to talk is going to be a little banter back and forth to prove our case. So, Josh, the statement, the claim is what?
That the earth is flat, plain and simple. Sorry. There is a lot of information out there. I didn't get a lot of, there's a lot of books, come to find out, which I thought it was just like this new idea of like the earth is flat. It has been around for a long time, like a long, long time.
Yeah, it wasn't something new. I think it's gaining. I think it gained more traction recently in the past 10 years.
Yeah. I'm trying to find all.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you go first.
Right. I'm gonna start with my opening statement.
Oh, an opening statement.
And then Josh, you kind of respond with your opening statement. And basically, this opening statement is not definitively proving our stance. It's more so like an opening statement to establish our stance. So, how do we know? So my stance is that the earth is round. It's a sphere. How do we know this? Humans have known that the earth is round for more than 2,000 years. The ancient Greeks measured shadows during the summer solstice and also calculated the earth's circumference, because shadows go in a spherical direction as the earth rotates. They used positions of stars and constellations to estimate the distances on earth. So even if you have a map, you have like a little distance key there at the bottom, and you can use that little key at the bottom to show the distance between one place and the other. And then when you drive it, you can prove that that map is accurate. So they could even see the planet's round shadow on the moon during a lunar eclipse, which we still see this during lunar eclipses. So my opening statement is, I believe that the earth is a sphere.
Okay. Yeah, I think the biggest defense argument with being the flat earth is when you go to Antarctica.
Yeah.
Like that it's like, well, you can't go from one side to the other. It's just an assumption, because no one's ever made it through one, like all the way through. No boats, no planes.
What do you mean?
Like no one's traveled. That's the claim, is that no one's traveled through, like, all right, I start from one side. If I go past Canada and I keep going, right, and go all the way through and end up, if the world is a sphere,
yeah,
that you would end up on, let's look at a globe, the false thing called a globe.
The fake Glober.
That people make out of freaking
paper. Don't they call them Globers?
Globers. Paper mache. Yeah. And the biggest thing is that the government controls our idea that the the Earth is a globe because of a like satellite pictures. Who's like the credibility? No astronaut comes back and says that the Earth is a globe. They just say, you know, they just show us, in quotes, satellite pictures that were taken. From what satellite? Who controls that satellite? The government. So, what am I looking up? Oh, globe. It's not a strong argument that I have on this one, but it is interesting that, like, when you look up on a globe and you go straight, if I'm going up Canada, I'm going to go through, aka the North Pole. No one has ever gone to, like, gone all the way through, whether a ship.
Tell Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Because he does.
You big liar.
You lie to me.
Oh, so I'm trying to figure out where you would end up. Oh, Asia.
Essentially, the big claim is that you could fly, that you can't fly, you can't take a polar route.
No.
In flight. And in theory.
Or you can't go like through Antarctica and come out the other side and just be like, oh, like I can't go straight down South America, go through Antarctica and just, and here's Australia. You know what I mean? So, no one's ever done either top nor bottom. It's only been satellites.
So I read into this a little bit.
Okay.
There's a few reasons why typically people don't fly those routes. One is the weather. Two.
Because it's impossible.
Two, the second reason. The second reason is because there's nowhere to safely land because they don't put airstrips on the poles.
Because it's flat.
In theory, yeah, you could actually do that.
Yeah.
In theory. In my theory. But there's a few downsides to it, and I can probably post an article that'll explain that. But that actually is a solid argument because why don't people fly straight over to Asia? And I would say
you'd end up in Russia.
My other, I guess, response to that would be, well, where is the North Pole? Why is it colder in Antarctica? Because people live there. So people live in Antarctica. You can actually like live there and do research. It doesn't make sense. It's cold.
Not a lot of people, but there are, yeah.
Two, why is it cold? You know, so like if we're using the flat earth theory.
The ice wall.
So explain seasons to me. And like explain how seasons work using flat earth theory and explain why one would be colder than the other. Also explain to me why
I cannot
explain to me why that there's seasons of the year where in the Norwegian countries or Scandinavia and in Alaska that it's nighttime all the time. Because using flat earth theory, how does that work? Because you can explain the shift of how the moon and the sun, you know, circle around, or the earth circles around the sun, I mean. But how can you, and how it like, you know, different seasons happen because of that. How do you explain that using flat earth theory that you get seasons? Because if it was flat and the moon was rotating, or the sun was rotating around the flat earth, does the flatness shift in function? Also, a lot of people don't know this. In my theory, you know that the Earth isn't a perfect sphere either. It's a sphere in my thought process, but it's not perfectly round.
Right. Because if you look at the I was just listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's smarter than
all of us.
All of us. Where he says the Marianas Trench is the deepest part of the Earth's crust that we can go, right? Which is 6 miles.
Yeah.
But the highest point is K1 in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Right. So from the lowest to the highest in the earth is only 11 miles. So 6 down and then however many up miles, you know, you do the math. What is that? 5?
I don't, yeah.
5 miles up. So that's, and then when you look at the sphere, like it's not a perfect sphere. It's more shaped like a pear, they said.
Yeah.
Because of the equator and all that stuff. I don't know, but if you look up flat earth theory pictures, it explains like why the sun, like the seasons and the sun, there's an ice shelf all the way around us, we are on a board, like so a level plane.
So
right?
Around the plane is an ice shelf.
Right, around the whole entire... Okay, and it's flat. So when I travel, I am going to a destination rather than around the globe. And the sun just hovers above, which is why we get day and night.
Day and night. So, all right. I like that. With this theory, you should be able to see Las Vegas from Houston.
You should. Okay.
Right, that's over a thousand miles, probably 1,500, 2,000 miles, maybe. I don't know. So with this theory, so for instance, I can go up on top of a mountain and I can see a very long ways because of I'm up above like really tall areas, so I can see different counties. But it doesn't matter how tall I am. If I stand on the Empire State Building, why at nighttime can I not see Chicago? If the earth is flat,
just human eyesight.
So
I can't see anything. I can't see letters on a screen.
So human eyesight would limit you to being able. So like, for instance, have you ever watched a boat in a telescope? Eventually the boat will go out of your eyesight. And typically the angle that that boat goes out of your eyesight,
you see the top,
you see the
top. The last thing is what you see is the top, right?
Is the back going down. And that's one of the explanations of the curvature of the earth. The other is satellite photos, which they could claim would be fake or falsified. Also the other thing is we'd have to explain sunsets. So
that's a good point.
So sunsets, if you watch a sunset, what does it typically look like? If you're out in the Pacific, or you watch a sunrise, for instance, here in Myrtle, the sun looks very big, okay? And as the day gets further, the sun goes up. A sunset, with flat earth theory, the sun would just get farther away instead of
an actual setting.
Setting on something. Also, yeah. The fact that the sun is a sphere.
And when you look into a high-powered telescope, everything that you see is a circle.
Yeah. And if the moon and sun spin perpetually over the earth, there would never be eclipses. Like if they just spin over top of the earth, there would never be an eclipse. You can't explain that. The other thing is taking a flight. So using flat earth theory, because if you look at the maps for flat earth, there's a massive space between Asia and the U.S., on the Pacific side.
Right.
I mean, just the largest landmass ever. And the map, also the key to it, doesn't explain distance at all.
That's the hard part.
It doesn't explain distance.
Right.
So, like, I could draw, in the flat earth theory, you should be able to be in Africa to the U.S. in hours. And that's not just simply not true. The other thing is, if you're taking a flight to Japan, how do you get there from the U.S.? What's the common flight to Japan?
I don't.
So typically you would fly from here to Los Angeles.
Okay.
Or a West Coast area. And then you would fly from Los Angeles to Japan. Using flat earth theory, it would make way more sense to fly from here to like Europe or Africa.
Right.
Than to,
if the earth was flat.
Using flat earth theory would make way more sense. Also, yeah, how do you get there? Also, like, the thing that I found with flat earthers, because, dude, they actually make some solid arguments, like, that are hard for us to prove unless we just go straight up into space and prove it.
Right.
And the thing that I always say is using scientific method, which I haven't found any flat earthers to do. So, like, I can explain scientific method. So, using the scientific method, you use it to arrive at what science, for the most part, is trying to arrive at is the truth. Now, do they get there? No. So, the argument with flat earth is that they claim to use science to explain flat earth, but they explain it using their stance. So
right.
Instead of it being we arrive at this stance based off research, they like the issue with flat earth theory is that it starts with a conclusion and all arguments are built to support that conclusion. Like I believe the earth is flat and here's why. Instead of science going, hey, we spent all these years like researching it and to arrive at the fact that the earth is a sphere. So the way that science works, if the earth is in fact flat, we will eventually arrive at that reality. Because I know scientists, a few scientists, and they actually want the truth. Because okay,
regardless of their stance.
So for me, I'm a Christian. We've talked about this before. I believe in creation. I believe in God. I believe that Jesus was a real man, son of God, that walked the earth. And for some, that's kind of like, you know, if I have a friend that's a scientist, they kind of think, oh, that's probably outlandish. And why? Well, they're using the scientific method. Now, you can use history to arrive at the fact that Jesus was an actual man that walked the earth. But all the other stuff, like, we don't have hard evidence. There's a lot of historical things that we don't have hard evidence for.
Right.
For me, I pair science with my beliefs together. And you hear about this all the time, like deconstructing and all these other things. Like, so when I grew up, I arrived at the conclusion that I believed in Jesus. And everything I did was proving that, which is not a bad thing. That's a great thing.
Right, it is.
But for me, I think it took me studying science and history to arrive at my conclusion that I actually really did believe in Jesus. But so the reason I say all that is that the truth will eventually, you'll eventually arrive at the truth, whether it's dying and arriving at the truth or just fading away into space. I don't, you know.
right.
But in saying that, I used the scientific method as a teenager or a late teen into adulthood to really prove why I believe what I believe. You know, you could call it apologetics or whatever. But for flat earthers, they definitively have a conclusion because of a distrust in an organization or a government.
And in science, yes.
And in science.
Yep.
And scientists would argue and say, hey, like, we don't fully know everything, but our research is trying to figure that out. There is way more research to prove that the earth is a sphere than that it is flat. And they know that based off of research, based off of GPS, or not GPS, based off of satellite photos, based off of all of these things. So, like, I guess, like, for me, it's like, have you seen the moon? Have you seen Mars? Have you seen the sun? We've been able to see Mars. You can look at other planets if you have the right telescope.
Yeah.
But I've actually seen Mars before. There's times when it's closer to the Earth.
Right.
Those planets are spherical.
It's a circle.
So for me, if it were flat, I feel like if we're mimicking other planets and we're just, everything makes us special being the third planet from the sun.
Right.
Then why does everything else look, you know, a certain way? What shape are they? Like, so have I ever been off the earth to definitively say I seen it? No.
Oh, dude, what if you're like, yeah, I was actually an astronaut before.
I was an astronaut before, dude. I feel like there's so many things about me they wouldn't allow on a rocket. And I'm not up on a high horse claiming to know everything. I'm just claiming to say, like, the argument is against science. And scientists are saying, like, we arrived at this theory because of research. You arrived at that theory, then researched. So with flat earth theory, it's so heavily disproven that personally, I don't think it's plausible. I don't think it's likely. I think it's very fun.
Like, right.
If you want to, but here's my other thought, and this kind of goes into another conspiracy theory. If you believe the earth is flat, then you also have to believe simulation theory.
Oh, no.
That's
a whole nother thing.
Simulation theory is basically we're in like the Truman Show, which somebody put in our questions.
Yeah.
Simulation theory states that we are basically a brain in a tube somewhere, and everything that we are seeing right now is all a simulation around us. Because everything we perceive is five senses. Was it feeling, touch, smell, taste, hearing, eyesight. So five senses. So in theory, what they're saying is, I don't believe in simulation theory. Obviously, I've explained my stance on creationism and what I believe as a Christian. But what they claim is that everything that you see or you perceive is through those senses. So everything that we understand as humans is based off of, is processed through our brains through those five senses. So technically, we could just be a brain in a tube. And if so, flat earth theory could work paired with simulation theory.
Got it. Yeah. If simulation theory is real, which, sure, which I don't believe in.
Dude, I don't either. But if everything's
off the table.
Yeah.
Like everything.
If you go there, if flat earth theory is a real thing, then dude, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The earth can be whatever you want because you can be in a plane and you're all just in a simulation. That plane's not even actually flying.
No.
You know, whatever. So in order for me to believe that, I'll tell you this and then I'll let you talk because I've been talking a lot.
Yep.
My theory, most flat earth people don't actually believe the earth is flat. They just want attention.
Yep, that is true. Yeah, it especially now in 2022, it is the popular thing to like, you believe what? That something so audacious, so crazy, so against the grain, if you will, just for the sake of against the grain rather than the actual subject that you're saying, yeah, I believe in. And so that's kind of been a trend of like, you know, the definition of punk would be like that definition.
Yeah.
But now it's just gone out of control to the point where, because now people can say whatever they want without having to be really confronted with what they're saying, which is why, like, thanks to social media, thanks to the internet, all the nets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just gone haywire. But at the end of the day, do I believe that the earth is flat? Nah, dog. No.
And we knew that Josh didn't. Dog. We knew that Josh didn't. And in a lot of ways, it was kind of like thrown to the wolves by him proving case. Because, like, it's so much harder.
That takes more faith than
believing the earth is round.
Dude, come on.
I've always said this.
Yeah.
And so I know we probably have listeners that are not believers. And again, our podcast has not put this all in your face.
Nope.
Like, as far as like creationism and what we believe as Christians. However, I will commend you on this, even though I don't think, I think it's probably bad to say. I think it takes way more faith to believe in nothing. Or to believe that this was all an accident.
Yeah, or this life is all you got.
We're less going flat earth theory, and we're going more like, where did we come from? And there's a lot of theories about that. For me, if you don't believe in simulation, then you probably believe in, like, you know, the Big Bang Theory, or you don't know. And so you just say, nothing really happens when we die. I don't know where we came from. At the end of the day, in my opinion, and what I arrived at using the scientific method to arrive at what I believed to be true, I just really thought it took a lot more faith to believe nothing or to believe that we were all an accident than to believe that we were created.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I don't think that you're dumb for believing what you believe.
No.
I don't think that you're, you know, like, we can have differing opinions, and I still absolutely love you, and I'm glad that you listen to our podcast. And we're going to go a little deep with this, but I think you have to, in your brain, sometimes, like, go there and think about all this stuff. And we weren't meant to understand everything. That's why we're still figuring out stuff. That's why we're still discovering animals to this day. Like, we're still discovering fish. We're still discovering all these things. And so, but at the end of the day, I think personally it takes more faith to believe the earth is flat. I think and I'm not pairing flat earthers with evolutionists and all this. I'm just saying, like, my stance is I think it takes more faith to believe the earth is flat. I think it takes more faith to believe that we were created by accident, or that it takes more faith to just believe nothing. Like, and it doesn't deeply bother me, you know, like, it doesn't deeply bother me like it used to, like, trying to figure out everything. Because I'm not meant to figure it all out. But at the end of the day, I hope that what we talk about is very thought-provoking to you.
Yep.
And I hate to say that because most of the stuff we say, it is not thought-provoking
no,
at all.
No, not at all.
And that's intentional. Like, we didn't mean to go deep in this episode because honestly, I don't know about you, Josh. This has been therapeutic for me.
Yeah, because, whether it's conspiracy theories or just your own opinions, there is a level of faith that you have to have. And
I can appreciate on anything. I can appreciate that.
Regardless of your religion, your belief, your anything, you have to you're believing in something that is actually true, whether it's factually true or scientifically true. That's on you to figure out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that sometimes it takes a lifetime to land. This is what I believe. So yeah, that's good. We got a lot of honorable mentions in our Instagram, and
you got them pulled up.
Yeah, we don't have time to touch on all of them, but we're just going to mention a few. It might tee us up for sequel. What's the third
part? Three.
I guess it's just part three.
Dude, I know nothing.
The squeakle.
What is that from?
I don't know. You know what I'm talking
Alvin
about?
Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Yeah.
Yes, the squeakle.
Yes. Dude. We got Trump actually won the last election. Well, first of all, I would argue if you think that your own citizen votes actually play a part in what president gets picked.
I love we're ending with this. Can I say this?
Dude, come on.
Notable mentions. We'll go ahead and
yep.
do this.
Yep.
Do I think that elections can be heavily rigged? Sure.
Well, that's already a given.
That's
I hope
a given.
So.
Like if you read into Google, like they based off what you search, they can bring up a different candidate based off what they want. So,
yeah.
Do I believe that they can nudge an election in a different direction? You betcha. Hey, but here's the thing I'll challenge you with. Like, and because I found myself like only mad certain times as far as rigged when things are rigged. For instance, I'll say this. This is me. I'm letting you in.
Okay.
When my team is losing, I blame the refs.
Bingo.
That is like my predisposition. And so I have to think of the bigger picture. Okay. Do I think the election was probably rigged? Yeah. Do I think the last one was rigged? Sure. Do I think the one before that was rigged? You betcha.
Yes. Yes.
They're all rigged.
It's not just because of a certain person.
They're all rigged.
Yeah.
And so the thing that I think we all need to do as citizens is when it comes to elections, because I think whoever posted this, it's a great question.
It is a good question.
And I think that they posted this in like, hey, they're interested to hear our stance on it. And I think that it's great because it does bring to a point, are elections rigged? And I do think they are.
Yeah, but it's not just the U.S., though. That's what you have to understand.
Yeah, and I also think outside entities can help control the U.S. election.
100%.
Just like we're just controlling all their elections.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Dude, so do I think elections are rigged? That would be the better question, because when Trump won the election before, I remember people saying that it was like people that didn't like Trump were saying that it was rigged. And when Barack Obama won, people were saying that it was rigged. The people that that they didn't approve of him as a candidate. And so I think as citizens, what we owe it to ourselves to do is to look into it like from a 30,000 foot objective lens without subjective opinion. And we go, hey, if elections are rigged, this not only robs the candidate that I wanted, but it robs everybody.
Yeah, regardless of who you pull for.
Of your voice.
Yeah, 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 that's good.
So I would say, do I think elections are rigged? Sure.
Yeah, 100%. Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. Okay. Santa Claus isn't real. I mean, I think he existed at one point in time. This one's interesting.
I actually didn't know about this.
I didn't either, and it's amazing. The Titanic was actually its sister ship, the Olympic. They switched the names as an insurance scam.
Do you know the average size cruise ship is like 10 times larger than the Titanic?
Is it really?
I think it's more than 10 times larger than the Titanic.
10 times.
That's how big the Titanic like was then, and how big cruise ships are in comparison now. Look up the actual stats.
Okay.
Of cruise ship in comparison to the Titanic, because a lot of people don't know that. Because you think the Titanic is the biggest ship ever created. Dude, an aircraft carrier now is way bigger than the Titanic. Because it wasn't like we just created the ship and thought we're done. That was the technology of the time. Like, cruise ships are way bigger.
Oh, bro, tiny. Tiny compared to like your typical like Royal Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah, tiny compared to that.
Which is so crazy because you think, oh, well, this was the biggest ship.
Interesting.
Do you ever also hear the theories about the Titanic, like things that people say before they die?
What do you mean?
So, for instance, not Paul McCartney, John Lennon, one of the Beatles. Do you know that like shortly before he died, he said that the Beatles were bigger than God? Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to go there.
Okay.
So the one of the, when they like basically the maiden voyage of the Titanic, the ship's creator or captain, one of the two, said that even God couldn't sink the Titanic.
Ah. Well, challenge accepted.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, don't say that.
Don't. Oh, that's dumb.
Bigfoot, we talked about that in the last one.
Yeah, I'm all in on Bigfoot, man. Yeah. Especially when you look into the scientific term Gigantopithecus. Like, I know, crazy name, but like you look in that like...
Sounds like something. Like if you were like...
Gigantopithecus.
Like if you were like trying to roast me. Like, well, oh, you're yeah? just a stupid Gigantopithecus. Dang it.
Golly.
My cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Oh, my God. It does sound like that. Yeah, so...
Simpsons can time travel. Dude, it is hard to not believe that. Have yeah. you seen all the theories behind the Simpsons predicting things?
Google it. Simpsons predicting the future. Google that and what you see in, like, the dated episodes to actually, like, historical dates that when that thing happened... Sometimes it's like years before.
Dude.
Like years before they actually happen. So.
Dude, I just recognized our clock was at 99. I guess it stops at 99 minutes.
That means we went too long.
Hey, but this okay. episode's full of juicy stuff.
Fun facts and opinions. So, yeah, those are all. And here's a couple questions we asked. Do you believe there's truth to most conspiracy theories? 65% people said yes. And then 35% said no. Do you think most conspiracy theorists just want attention? This was shocking to me.
Because I thought they would say that most want attention.
I said yes. But 42%.
I said yes as well.
Really? Mm-hmm. 42% said yes. 58% said no.
And I think conspiracy theorists, oh man, this is going to offend some.
Go for it.
Because I believe in some conspiracies, but you know what I've had to like internally dialogue to realize? Sometimes I try to like prove a conspiracy just to have the appearance of being more intelligent.
Hmm.
I will do that. Like if I believe in a conspiracy, like instead of like researching the truth, I'll just like research the conspiracy to just like try to appear more intelligent than everyone else. Say it's a bad characteristic of mine.
Yeah, that's true because it's like you went above and beyond rather than the like the status quo. Like,
yeah, I'm different than you, which means I'm more intelligent.
I'm not a sheep.
Yeah, sheeple.
Not a sheep.
And I'm not saying, hey, again, we said at the beginning, having thoughts on conspiracies is actually a good thing because it means you want the truth, but sometimes I feel like you're grabbing at straws just to try to,
yeah,
you know. A conspiracy theory you want us to talk about. Let's see this. Briar Mountain Little People. We may research that for another day.
Yep.
Disney World, I want to cover this in part three.
That has to be its own episode, dude. Going there for weeks and
after
years.
After researching?
Oh, I'm in.
And
I'm all
you,
in.
Dude, we should go visit Disney World. Because I know you know people in Florida. I know people in Florida.
Oh, my. I have so many incredibly best friends that live in Florida.
And wild enough, I've got a few really good friends that live in Florida as well.
Florida trip.
We'll do a Florida tour one day.
Yes.
Jeffrey Epstein again. This person said how Josh De La Cruz and Holden Pace are the coolest men on earth. They must be aliens. That is so kind.
God, I love you.
Thank you. We're not the coolest men on earth. There's way cooler.
Definitely not.
Disney, Area 51. Hey, we covered Area 51 a little bit. Aliens. Flat Earth, which we talked about a little bit today. What if everything is an experiment and that I know is made up? Truman Show, basically simulation theory. We talked about that a little bit. Birds aren't real. Simpsons can time travel. Pizzagate. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, dude. Just do it. Just Google it right now. It's insane.
I'm cool with that.
But it might get you killed.
I want to look that up. Yes, yeah, so there'll probably be a part three at some point in time. And guys, we got a lot of cool stuff coming off the press over the next few weeks. And we're going to be making some announcements for some intentions that we have at the podcast, some exciting news that we have at the podcast. And pay attention to social media. Pay attention to episodes because when I tell you we have exciting announcements, I think you think that we're just trying to blow up another episode. Guys, we have some very big things coming up. Some things that are going to change, like, change the, I guess, the trajectory of what this podcast might be for you.
That's true.
And for us. And so, just very excited. Again, we say a lot of subjective things. So, Josh, you and I, even though we created a fake debate, like, we can actually disagree on things and still be friends.
Always.
You can call me an idiot in your mind for some of the things I've said today, and I'm okay with it. Like, I would rather you do that than pretend like we're cool.
Yeah. Yes. Please. Just be real.
Just be real with your friends. Be real with the people around you, but also let them know that it's safe, that they can have a differing opinion than you.
Yeah. And it's totally okay.
Because a lot of opinions are subjective. Some are, like, actual objective opinions, and you as a moral society, we should believe these things. But a lot of opinions we have are subjective, and so I'm not going to hate on you for having them, and please don't hate on me for having my thoughts. I'm able to air my thoughts out on a microphone. Josh is too.
Yep.
And we love you all dearly. We actually had some topics we wanted to talk about today, but we decided not to just because of the nature of the topic and how it might be deemed offensive for some. And so we never want to offend anybody, but at the end of the day, we want to share our thoughts and our stances on that. This has been Conspiracy Theories Part 2. We're very excited that you have came along with us. This has been a weirdly long episode,
yep,
but a really good episode. And I like this. I like this topic. As you can see, I've gone down many rabbit holes. But
it's all good. We like this kind of stuff. But also, as we close, don't forget Talk Boys Podcast on Instagram. Share it with a friend. Repost. We will repost you listening to it. Put that on your story. We'll share it with our families as well, our talk people, as we call you guys. And also, share the episode with some people, not just friends and family, but new listeners. We're always curious where our listener base is. There's some in North Carolina. There's Atlanta, Florida.
We've got some in other countries. Like, we had Saudi Arabia, the UK, Argentina was an interesting one.
Okay.
Other countries in South America. We've had some countries in Asia. Dude, we would love to get the Talk Boys podcast on every continent. Maybe get it translated for.
Let's do it. Why not?
So we absolutely love that. We love that you're listening to us. And we hope you have a great week this week. We hope you have a great Valentine's Day. And you just enjoy time with your loved ones and friends. And we will see you next time.
UFOs are